Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time, we'll appoint Mr. Conklin as chairman for the organizational meeting.
Okay, it is January 14th, 9:30. This will be the 2008 organizational meeting of the Butler County Board of Commissioners. First order of business would be to accept nominations for the election of president for 2008 of the Butler County Board of Commissioners.
I move to nominate Commissioner Furman for president of the board.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
And Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
I'd now like to speak election of vice president for the Butler County Commissioners for 2008.
Move to nominate Commissioner Dixon.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
The next would be the set time and place of the meetings, dispense with the reading of minutes of board meetings, appointment of board representation. Butler County Emergency Management Agency Board would be Commissioner Furman. Butler County Microfilm Board would be Commissioner Dixon. Butler County Data Processing Board would be Commissioner Jolivet. Butler County Revolving Loan Board, Commissioner Jolivet. Butler County Extension Advisory Committee, Commissioner Furman. Authorize the distribution of escrow accounts. Authorize distribution of environmental services payroll expense. Adjournment of, that would be the end of the organizational meeting. Can we have a motion for those previous announced
items? Move to approve the organizational issues.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And then I would adjourn the organizational meeting and reconvene back in regular session with President Furman.
Congratulations, Mr. Vice President. I'm going to make a couple comments first before we proceed.
Sure, go ahead.
Obviously, I'm honored to be president of this commission again. This commission has a track record of doing a lot of things right. As far as Butler County is concerned, fiscally, we're one of the lowest on sales tax rates. There's 80 counties with higher rates than Butler. And we have the highest bond rating in Butler County's history, set by Moody's of New York. They set the rate according to solid financial numbers, not by politics. I have a map here of the tax rates for the various counties. It's pretty impressive. As far as safety is concerned, safety of our citizens has been and will continue to be high on our priority list. Swift and sure punishment is the very best deterrent to crime. We have our state-of-the-art jail with extra space for the future, and we have the newly reconstructed old jail. We are envied by many of our neighboring counties who have no jail space at all. Later this year, our new 800 megahertz countywide radio system with all new equipment, 10 new radio towers, and much more bandwidth will go online. Our safety officers will have full coverage in every part of the county if we have a terrorist event or any other catastrophic occurrence. Economic development and job creation. Butler County has been tops or one of the top counties in the state for economic development, and we have been the top creation capital of Ohio. With the development of the Liberty Interchange and other improvements in that area, the building of several large hospitals and more businesses showing interest in that vicinity, it appears that the future looks bright for continued success for economic development and job creation. Of course, we, like the rest of the nation, are feeling the effects of predatory lending and a severe slump in the housing market. We continue to try to plan ahead for such occurrences and for a possible downturn in the economy. Butler County is one of the greatest places I know to live, work, and raise a family. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Good news.
Okay. Do you have any care to say at all?
No.
Move on.
Just please, and thank you for the confidence to be the vice president of the board. Got a lot of good things to work on this year. So I look forward to doing it.
Great.
Great team.
Exciting year. Okay. Mark Demidovich from our care facility.
Thank you. I have an extra one here.
Okay.
Let me, my screen goes to, we have HIPAA violations if we go longer than 5 minutes on our screen. Okay, thank you for inviting me here today. I appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about Butler County Care Facility. We've been around for 170 plus years at this point, and are very proud of some of the things that we do there. I'm going to kind of give you a brief history of some county home things and then kind of cover what we do.
Hey, Chuck, before you start, how long have you been here?
About 10 and a half years. And I was fortunate to replace a man that had been there for 25 years. So there's some, and I'm kind of the short-termer of the management staff, to be real honest with you. I think I'm the second least senior person of the management staff there. So longevity is kind of a big thing there.
It could be good for you.
Mm-hmm, yes.
It could be a good thing. Tradition.
Mm-hmm. Let me cover a little bit of the history of the county home. In 1816, the Ohio General Assembly authorized the Board of County Commissioners to construct county poorhouses for the care of paupers. In 1850, the legislative enactment, the poorhouse became the county infirmary. We've gone through a variety of different things, from being TB clinics to being places for when the sheriff didn't know what to do with somebody and they were drunk, they would spend the night at the county home. A variety of different functions the county home has provided. In 1898, it became unlawful to confine the insane and epileptic in the institution. In 1913, the board of directors was abolished and the powers were assumed by the county commissioner. So you guys have been overseeing us since 1913. And in 1919, the name was changed again. The new name, the County Home, indicated emphasis on caring for the county's needy, aged, and infirmed. Fortunately, we also have what's called the County Home Association. We're 37 members strong, or 37 members a week, whichever way you want to look at it, because a change in the law about 25 years ago did not require counties to maintain county homes anymore, and some counties have decided to get out of the business of running county homes.
When those counties choose to get out of the business, what happens to those folks?
Most of those homes were closed, and they were either put back on the streets, either into the mental institutions or into privately run nursing homes if the people were eligible. In 1965, the homes were given a choice when Medicare started up to become what's either called certified or non-certified. And about half of the homes that exist today chose to become certified, which is Medicare, Medicaid approved. The other half exist under general funds or tax levies to the counties. And they're non-certified homes. They're more down the assisted living low-income programs. I think the biggest example I can use is I think it's Washington County, Marietta's county home. They still actually farm the farm. The residents still actually pick the crops. They still actually slaughter their own beef and pork. And it's more run as the county farm. And Ted Williams, who's been the administrator there for almost 30 years, tends to take those people that are not eligible for any other services in the county, and they come into his facility. This was the county home, and I think I saw the remains of it when I first came in, I guess in 1976. We built a new county home with taxpayer support. The old county home looks great, but I understand it was had its problems. One of the examples I can use in Mansfield, the county home there was built in 1850, and it still exists And it's a gorgeous structure with inlaid floors and, I mean, just a gorgeous facility. But it's taking them a lot of money to maintain a structure from the 1850s. And part of the difficulties with a lot of the county homes anymore are the fact that the buildings are so old, trying to keep them to the new current codes with fire systems and sprinkler systems and all the requirements have made it kind of tough for some of the homes to survive. I believe in, I'm not sure which county, but it's Zanesville, the taxpayers just approved a tax levy to build a new county home. And it's a non-certified home, so it's also supported by the general fund. The care facility was built in 76. This is a picture I thought was interesting because in 1983 we added another extension, which is called our West Wing, which is our locked behavioral unit. And this is the home today. It's about 32 years old and still in pretty good shape for a 32-year-old building. Mm-hmm. Oh, just the amount of traffic in and out, the wear and tear on equipment. It's been a very interesting building to try to maintain. We do have a service that we took from our downstairs area, made an area called Adult Day Services. It's been in operation since 1999. It's having some problems right now because of some of the changes in the elderly services program and Council on Aging. It's going to be very difficult to keep open because the funding has drastically dropped in that area. When you look at elderly services program and you look at Council on Aging, the elderly are given choices that they get $600 a month in services. Do you want somebody to come and clean your home? Do you want Meals on Wheels? Do you want, you know, somebody to come in and provide you some care? And then whatever's left over that $600, they can use for services like adult day services and things like that. Well, a lot of people are choosing to stay within their homes and can't come out. And I think the biggest role we play in adult day services is providing a socialization to those folks that are homebound. We go out, we pick them up, we bring them in. We give them lunch, we give them snacks, we do a lot of activities, a lot of socialization, then we take them home. And it has, I think it's a very good service that we provide, but it's one that unfortunately is not keeping pace with covering its costs. We also have resident therapy. We have a inpatient, outpatient therapy. We have our own physical therapist on staff. We provide services for those people that when they come to our facility need therapy. We have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. And we have a pretty good department head there. She's been with us 9 years. And the only reason she only can say 9 years is she was a contracted service there before they wanted to pull out. In 2001, the commissioners approved us to apply for Medicare because up to that point we were strictly a Medicaid facility, and we were very fortunate that we went Medicare before they came in and made everybody go Medicare. In today's nursing home environment, everybody has to, I believe, be Medicare if you're part of Medicaid. So we were able to take some space downstairs and make a very nice therapy room, got a lot of equipment, and are very successful. When I get to our census, our admissions and discharge, you'll see that this year over 50% of our patients went home after being at our facility from all our discharges. Some of the cool things we do there, we've had community resolution, community service, and community behavioral health do an Oktoberfest. They come out every year. They cook a meal for the residents. They bring a DJ. There's dancing in the parking lot. We've kind of made it a parking lot party. The residents get very involved in it. We have their families come out. We have games. For a couple years, the sheriff has come out. He's brought the helicopter, the horses, the bomb squad. The residents got a kick out of seeing the robots that they use to go in and out. And It's just a really nice event. The families get very involved. This Christmas, we are very fortunate. Every year we have, I think for the last 15 or 20 years, trying to think of the big insurance company down in Fairfield that just got sold.
Ohio Casualty
had always sponsored the residents, and this year they weren't doing that anymore because the people that were doing it are no longer with Ohio Casualty. But we had other people come out. Every resident got presents. We had a gift opening for them. We had an entire front office full of Christmas presents for all the residents donated from the community, which was really nice. We had a party where the families came in. You might have got a few calls from families. They want to see us expand our dining room because they had a hard time getting a seat to sit with their family. We had them down in adult day services. We had them in the employee break room. We had them in the physical therapy room. We had them in the chapel. It was just a really nice event, and it went very well, and the residents really appreciated it. We do have a lot of schools come in with their kids. They come in and do some activities with our residents. It's a very popular thing with the residents. If you ever want to see a resident smile, bring about a kid yay high into the facility, and they just enjoy it thoroughly. We also have a pet therapy program. We've got a group that comes in with their animals. We also have some volunteers that bring their dogs in. And I love the picture of the gentleman with all the ladies around him. That's Ed. He's one of our residents. And the dog hanging over the ear of the one young lady is Eddie. And we took that picture just before Christmas, and I probably had to make 10 or 15 more copies for him to hand out to everybody that came into the facility that day. He was kind of proud of that picture. But it's a very positive thing for the pet therapy. Census, there we go. Well, I guess we've seen a increase in our census over the last 4 years. We're about 92% occupied now. We had a time frame which it was hard to get people to come in because we did not have any private rooms. We have an entire wing of our building, 64 beds worth of semi-private with no bathrooms in them. You have to go down the hallway to the bathroom, and that's been kind of the hard sell. I think the other thing we saw in 2004 that affected our census was we saw a lot of additional assisted living come into the market, and I think we've recovered from that part of it because assisted living is a real, I think, you've got your levels of care, and there's a lot of people that don't need to be in the nursing home that greatly benefit from staying in an assisted living facility. Admissions and discharges. I think the first year I got there, I think there was a grand total of 12 admissions 10 years ago. We've seen a huge change in our clientele. What used to be, I think when I was there, we had, first year I was there, I think we had somewhere around 10 or 15 people that had been there 20 to 25 years as residents. We have one person left of that group. She's been there for, I think, 26 years. Other than that, we see a lot more of the short-term stay people. As you can see in 2007, I think 59% of our people that were admitted were discharged back to home. And, you know, that tells you that the what used to be the philosophy of the nursing home is once you get in there, you never get back out. I think you're going to see a whole change in nursing homes is that we're basically doing the services that the hospitals did 10 or 15 years ago, that these people are no longer allowed to stay in the hospital. They have to be sent out, and they do their therapy in a different setting than in the hospital setting. So we've seen a lot more. I think, as I said, we went from 10 admissions in 1997 to 137 admissions last year. So that's a big change. Some of the problems that we're facing in the previous budget, For the state, we had a 2% reduction for 2 years of our Medicaid rate. For this year and next year, we have a freeze on our Medicaid rate at the rate after the 2% reductions. And then after 2009, I can't give you a guess what's going to happen. They have this dream of this flat rate of $161 a day, which if I'm up in Hardin County and I'm the administrator of Hardin County, I am thrilled to death because he only gets $120 a day right now from Medicaid. If I'm in Butler County and I'm looking at the wage rate and two hospitals coming in and all the other things going, my Medicaid rate is $187 a day. So I would have to make somewhere around $26 a day in cuts. I'm hoping that they all find a common ground. Right now, the hard part here is Jobs and Family Services has put this dollar value based on a 25 percentile of costs. That means 75% of us are above their costs. So hopefully they'll come to some kind of agreement that we can survive under their funding program. Because in our case, we're 84-85% Medicaid. We get about 10% Medicare and only 1-2% private pay.
Yeah, we don't have private pay hardly at all anymore.
No.
You might explain what private pay is for John.
Private pay is a person that has the funds to be able to pay without any federal or state assistance.
But they're on the spend down plan then, because they don't have a lot of money in the bank.
Right.
They might have $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah, our private pay people are spending down to be able to become Medicaid eligible. So it's a our clientele has also changed. We tend to take a little bit more harder to deal with resident. We tend to take. We have a couple head trauma people. We have some mental health folks. It's a different kind of clientele today. My old saying, the little old lady and little gray haired lady in the rocking chair sitting on the front porch doesn't exist in the nursing home industry today. She lives in assisted living or is with home with home health care. She's not living in our facility. Some of the positive things that happened to us. I can tell you right now, I can thank the commissioners over and over and over again for joining SEBCO. our health care rates were just going absolutely crazy. And even now, for every dollar or for every $7 we take in, $1 goes to health care costs. 1/7 of our budget is strictly health care costs, not wages, not. Yeah, so that gives you a pretty good idea that our costs are pretty high in healthcare, but they have been flat or even a little down this year, which I think is a statement that, you guys making the choice to go to SEBCO was wonderful because we were seeing 16-17% increase. And I was talking to the administrator at Shelby County, and she just got a 19% increase in her healthcare costs this year because they are not in SEBCO. They are still in the process of bidding out their health care costs. And so she went to talk to her commissioners about SEBCO. One of the big things we got from the commissioners is that through your assistance, you got a grant for safety that allowed us to purchase $96,000 worth of electric beds. We have not had a back injury for almost 3 years. We've had a shoulder and we've had the repetitive motion injuries, but in the workman's comp side of it, we've gone almost 3 years. Huh? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. One of the statistics I thought was really interesting that our safety director gave us was that, let me dig through my stuff here. I believe we went from 140 lost days of work our 270 lost days of work, 208 lost days of work in 2004 to 17 days of lost work. 17. Through Doug and Joy's help upstairs, they brought in a safety director for us. His name's Jerry Allen. does walking through the building, works with the staff, talks about safety. We went to no lift. We have all the lifts in the building. We have the electric beds. We have tried to make it so that our employees are as safe as possible working there. One of the other things that you helped us with was the block grant. We got a block grant. We had to replace our fire alarm system. It was a little outdated, and they no longer made the parts to it. And being up on the hill, we get a lot of lightning strikes. And we were losing our control panels. And so last year we upgraded the fire alarm system. And the last thing we did is when I first got there, when the architect built the building, he assumed that the south and southwest wings were going to be assisted living and the north wing was going to be nursing home. Well, they were all nursing home, and the doors on south and southwest wing were only 36 inches wide, and the requirement by law is 48. So we had to go back and widen all the doors, which was quite an immense project. One of the couple things we've done to try to control some costs, our wages from 2002 and 2007 increased 9.2% over a six-year period, which is only about a 1.5% increase in wage increase, which I think in the healthcare industry is probably pretty good. We changed our pharmacy, and we've seen a major reduction in our pharmacy bills. Food service. I was joking. We had a meeting with them last Monday to talk about how we can control some of our food costs, and I was kind of joking that, you know, maybe we won't be able to serve orange juice after the orange crop got frozen. And she looked at me and said, "Chuck, your problem's not orange juice. Wait till you see what apples have done, and apple juice and applesauce. Eggs are, they're projecting to go up $1 a dozen. Some of the food costs are just going to skyrocket. And of course, now with all our bills, we also get a fuel surcharge for each delivery because gasoline's gone so high. You know, bringing the semi truck up to leave it off, they've had to, you know, adjust for some of that. So one of the things we decided to do is try to somewhat go green. I know that's a big, I think a word overly used, but we're looking at things like cereal that comes already in the prepackaged bowl. You're actually paying for the bowl. We've gone back to bulk. Butter pats, you know, the little plastic things. Well, you can still get them on the cardboard with the tear back paper. We've been very fortunate there. That's $7 a case cheaper and 200 butter pats additional. If you think about how many meals we serve in a year, that becomes quite a bit of a savings. So we've also changing our light bulbs over to the fluorescents and trying to do some of those things, because our electric bill has probably gone up over the last 4 years by about $4,000 to $5,000 a month. So we've had to do some things to try to get some controls, because it used to be in the old Medicaid system, that was a reimbursed cost. That came back to you the next year in your rate. Well, there's no changing of the rate, so there's no more, you know, put it on your cost report and hope to see it next year. Some of the things we did in 2007, we began computerized charting. It has gone very well. We've been doing it since March 19th. We had a state surveyor in a couple weeks ago that her comment to me was, this was the simplest system she's ever used. She stayed for about an hour and left because she was able to do all she needed to do and pull it out of one single area. Beginning April 1, we go to the electronic medical record, which is where the nurse signs off each med that she gives, and we'll be starting that on April 1, where they do it electronically. The orders will go in electronically. We will no longer have to write 5 or 6 different places what a physician order is, because what I'm hoping does, it cuts down on any errors. The other thing it does is when the nurse is passing her meds, it's only going to pull up the meds that she's required to pass at that time instead of having to flip through. And if you know what the paper's like, it's easy to make a mistake. We had one nurse during a survey a couple years ago that pulled all the 9 p.m. meds instead of the 9 a.m. meds because she was nervous with somebody looking over her shoulder, but she looked at the wrong time and was pulling the wrong meds. This year we were able to take... we sold some beds, and we were able to make additional private rooms. What that has allowed us to do is we're getting a lot of infection control issues coming out from the hospital, so we've had to do a lot of isolation, and that has allowed us to meet the needs of the residents. We're working this year. Our last year we worked with Molina, Amerigroup, and Buckeye, which are the new HMOs for Medicaid, and I think we have successfully to date been approved in all three of those programs. And then recently we were awarded the Excellence in Care Award for work with mental health residents here. Our future, computerized charting, I think, is going to help us. We're providing services for mental health clients. We're looking at some different type of approach with some of the mental health agencies here in town to be able to maybe provide them some services for a step-down unit. Our staff training we've been doing to increase awareness of behavioral issues, because the clients that we're getting in today's referrals are have a lot more needs. We're getting more acutely ill residents that are requiring more services, and again, more short-term visits for rehab. And then the last one I think is very interesting, the demand from the consumer for increased services. I didn't think the 89, 90-year-old people really needed internet service, but I have been advised by most of my residents that they would like to have the internet available to them, because that's how they communicate with their family, is that they would like to have internet connection. They don't care if we don't have a phone. They want the internet connection, which is driving information services crazy, because it goes through the county servers and they're going, we can't do that. And I'm going, yeah, this is what the customer wants. So hopefully, here's to another 170, and you can't see it up there, but it says plus years. So I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak, and I appreciate.
Chuck, we appreciate it. If you would, please express our appreciation to your fine staff. I know they do a great job there, and we're pleased and appreciative.
I appreciate the support we get, because the staff is the key. You can have all the, as I've all said, bricks and mortar are one thing, but it's the staff that makes the home. And kind of the nice thing, I went back and looked, we've hired a grand total of 2 nursing assistants in the last 6 months. So that's, we've become pretty stable with our staff. Turnover's dropped way down.
Is that a sign of the times, too?
I think it's a sign of the times. I think it's a sign of the fact that our health care is affordable, that our wages are for a nursing assistant, $11.20 an hour. It doesn't sound like a lot, but in the nursing assistants, that's a pretty good wage. And we work very hard. We're trying right now. We work very hard with them with their schedules. We've computerized their schedules. They have to come to me for their schedules, because I do the schedules, because it's kind of keeps me in contact with everybody. But we try to make their schedules work for them. And one of the things we're getting ready to do now is post up a list. Who wants to carpool? Because if gas goes like they're saying it's going to go, we're going to have people having difficulty getting to work. And so we're going to try to schedule people that can ride together to get them on the same schedule, so that they can maybe share some of the costs of getting back and forth to work. So it's been an interesting time, and I think it's going to get a lot more interesting as we go.
Chuck, I want to echo Commissioner Furman's job well done. Let me just share a few thoughts that I have. I think that we're at the verge of a whole new concept of caring for the elderly.
Absolutely.
And I believe that, you know, we need to move Butler County forward into being prepared for that. And, you know, we need a whole new concept for the county home. And the commissioners have always been supportive in the years of the county home, but it provides a need for the people who don't have the safety net. And that's our goal. Our goal is not to build something that competes with the private sector,
right?
You know, but we want something that's still the same quality, no matter what your income is. Everybody gets treated equally. So, you know, I would like to see us, and I know I'd like to see us move to do a site concept for the ground that's left there to do an assisted living slash long-term care slash rehab slash daycare campus type right there. We've got a beautiful site.
Right.
You know, and our building is aged to the point now to where its usefulness is really worn out.
I mean, it's close.
We're patching and adding. But, I mean, hey, look, what is it?
30-some
years?
32 years old.
I mean, this does its job.
Times three.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we can't take that building and rehab it to assisted living.
Right.
Make some assisted living suites or something like that. Something where that people can, if they're on Social Security, that it makes the, you know, they can afford to stay there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The nice thing with taking the old building is there's no mortgage to it. So your cost for low-income assisted living would strictly be the labor involved in providing the services. And that building, that's one of the things, that there's a gap out there for the low-income people for assisted living. There's a lot of people don't need to be in the nursing home. I'll be the first to admit to that. And it's the last place anybody wants to be, but it's a required service.
We need to provide that. We need to be looking forward to provide that service, and I think this commission is prepared to do that. And we're looking, you know, I'd like to see us look at doing a assisted living tower, something that's affordable but nice, and tie all that together with our new Board of Elections building going out there and our extension agents out there, offices. We got transitional living out there. We can make that just a campus type setting,
right?
That where in the new building we have a gathering area and a cafeteria that all those folks out there can come eat right there, interact with the residents.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. That's the whole part of long term care, adult day services system is to bring the social concept to it.
Yeah.
Because the elderly end up hiding in their apartments and never coming out. That's what I thought was so interesting about the internet was the gentleman I was talking to, he's 92 years old, and he says, I'd love to come to your facility. He says, but you don't have internet connection. I said, why? He said, well, I have a camera on my laptop, and I talk to my friends every day via the internet. And, you know, you'd never thought, you know, when you think about the age groups, because I'm lucky that I can get a PowerPoint to run. You know, they're more savvy than I gave him credit. He was more advanced in computers than I was.
So I'd like to see some of that. And I know I've mentioned it before, and I know there's support here to do that. I think we need to start on the concept. We got to catch up to the aging population in Butler County,
right?
And provide that safety net for the ones that don't qualify, and that's what we're there for,
right?
So, but you guys are doing a great job. And hopefully, in the future, near future, we'll be out there. We'll be out there with some people to take a look at how we make the first move.
It's a wonderful piece of property. There's no question. It's a little muddy right now, but it's a wonderful piece of property. So I appreciate it. That would be wonderful.
Thank you.
Mr. President, can I ask a question?
Sure.
One of the concerns that, Chuck, you and I have talked about was with the UC physicians open up a children's hospital, keeping and attracting and retaining our nurses.
Right.
What do we see happening? And, Don, you're in the same business. It's getting very competitive out there for nurses, isn't it? At least in our area.
Well, it has been for the past few years. It's nothing new. Chuck, we deal with that every day. But, you know, Chuck's on the right track when he says, you know, we have the latest equipment. We have the latest lifts. You know, we have the latest charting. I mean, and make work environment comfortable and safe. There's plenty to go. I'm not planning to go around, but you'll get your. He's only had two CNAs in the last, what'd you say?
6 months.
That's incredible.
Isn't it?
I mean, that's totally incredible. That says so much about your organization.
Well, they're the most important piece of our job. And if you treat them the way you want to be treated, it works well. And as I said, I do the staffing because it gives them the opportunity to come up and knock on my door, not knock my door, they just come on, walk on in. But it's really important that they have that contact. And again, we bend over backwards in the staffing side of it to try to make it work for everybody. Yeah. And it's
that's unbelievable. That just says volumes about your organization.
The other thing to say is that while the county home is not a profit kind of organization, they do have to have more come in than goes out to be able to stand alone. And Chuck was charged with the direction of when he was hired that we didn't want to have to put general fund dollars into it. And that is a rare thing in county homes that are,
right,
that are left. I know we do sometimes do some advances for cash flow while things are coming.
Right.
But he has stood alone, and I know it's getting tougher and tougher to do that.
It's becoming a major challenge.
Coming in, so I want to congratulate you for that, Chuck, because I know it's very tough.
Their state's going to have to change the formula, the funding formula. If they don't, everybody's going to be out of business.
If they don't, I want to move up to Hardin County.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, and again, what he pays his RN,
yeah,
I can't get an aide.
Yeah.
I mean,
they'll get it fixed.
You know,
they always do. It's always the last minute, but they always get it fixed.
Yeah, it's just like that unknown, though. You're out there going, where do I start? What do I do? And and being a county home, you know, it's part of, I came from a chain. I was a regional in a chain, and I came from a chain where you learned what was going on through a bunch of homes. The only thing I basically have available to us is the County Home Association, and sometimes getting all those folks to share is a challenge because everything's wonderful, everything's great,
yeah,
and you're going, I know better. I've worked in this industry for 25 years. Not everything is better, and not everything is great.
I'm not sure I've had many two of those days in a row.
No.
How are our legislators that we need to work with?
I think we're okay. I think they understand the message. Yeah, I think they're working on it. It'll get fixed.
The hardest part is the formula that Jobs and Family Services came up with. They just, somebody needs a reality check that when you get to the Cincinnati market, you get to the Columbus market, and you get to the Cleveland market, it costs more to do business. It costs more to live. You know, there's a major change versus living in a small town north of Dayton, and even Shelby County. A good friend of mine that runs the county home up there, she's had census problems. She's got cost problems. She's in the same boat I am. She's trying to take rooms out of service and make private rooms, because, you know, it's just the demand of the consumer is going to drive this business. And when all us baby boomers hit there, and it's like Derek knows, one of the issues we have taking place right now, what do you do with the family that chooses not to plan mom's burial? Yeah, we're starting to run into this more and more. There's no pre-planning. We've talked and our social service people and talked to the blue in the face, unless somebody put some money down. And just before Christmas we had a lady die and no way to bury her. And it just gets tougher and tougher. And we're seeing that happen more often now.
Funeral homes work with us and keep prices as low as possible. I don't know if we end up paying for that one.
No, so I don't know what all happened there. I know the previous one before that, the staff took up a collection, and our staff came up with $900 to bury a gentleman because he had absolutely no family. Nobody was around, and he
right.
But I'll give my staff credit. They all got together and they raised the funds to bury the gentleman, and you don't see that happen very often. So it's a good group of people out there.
Job well done.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, communications. Approved minutes from the last meeting. Approved travel and training. Transfers and appropriations, amended certificate of estimated resources, approved modification to enterprise zone agreement with Armor Holding. They have changed their name for this abatement agreement to BAE Systems, Survivability Systems, LLC, just a name change. Approve pay progression plan across the board for non-bargaining unit employees. Approve 08 non-bargaining unit pay scale. This is all environmental services. Reclassify maintenance helper to maintenance specialist 1. Reclassify waterline maintenance operator to waterline maintenance operator 2.
approve an employee's title correction, release 1 year maintenance bond for water and sewer extensions to Estate of Hawthorne Hills and Heritage Plaza, award contract for AC motor test systems to PDMA Corporation in the amount of $48,000, and then execute the contract for $48,000. Under the county engineer, approve adoption of the annual county highway system mileage for 07 and award contract for the Board of Election Phase 3 construction that goes to general is to CR&R, Plumbing, Progressive Plumbing, HVAC to SynFab, Electrical to Raper Electric, and Fire Protection to SA Communal Wall Company. That's all the communications.
Move for approval.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
And Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you.
One thing I'd like to comment on the power holding.
Mm-hmm.
We're very happy that they chose to stay here for our job retention. And I know that our Congressman Boehner was involved in helping with that. Did we ever send any notification to him? Okay. I have one issue here. I'd like to request a resolution establishing this board's support for the Teen Driving Summit and a comprehensive study of teen driving that leads to best practice legislation. Larry Stone from Grumpy is kind of heading this up. I've been working on it for some time. And we have a resolution here that was done by Hamilton County, and it covers all the bases. So if you're in agreement, we could.
Yeah, I would move for that approval. Adoption.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Okay.
Could you
sure.
have that sent to him?
Yes.
That you would.
Mr. President, I have one issue I'd like to
Mr. Dixon?
Clarify, make a clarification for maybe. Get the comments headed into the right person. I have, first of all, for the record, I know that before I got here that the commission had gone out for, hired an architect, gone out to bid for the animal shelter. Those bids came in right before Christmas, I think it was, wasn't it, Derek? Right before Christmas. Our budget is $3.5 million, and I guess it came in at like $5.1 and some change. So obviously, the numbers in the building didn't jive, but the architect is working on it and continues to work on it to get that building down into the price range. Right, Derek?
Correct.
Okay. Now, in the meantime, I've looked at the building and have some thoughts and some ideas on how we might do something a little different, and I'd like to offer that as a suggestion. And I want the record to be clear that I am the one with asking to look at this option, okay? And the current board. Still on track with what they had started to do, and that. So this is kind of my idea, and I'm throwing it out as an idea, and it's not really slowing down the process at this point because the architect is working on getting the building down to meet the budget as the original design. But in the meantime, I had a meeting with the architect and a couple of the other people that are involved in siting these things and come up with a different concept for the building. And it's kind of ironic that Chuck happens to be here today because this kind of dovetails into some of our comments earlier. The site that we've chosen for this originally was on the long-term care campus of the county property on Princeton Road. And we've also currently sited the Board of Elections and the ag people in that new building. That's about a $7 million building, I think. So the architect designed something that was compatible to those buildings, which is what we have, what he has on the drawing boards now is the original building. I'm suggesting that maybe we ought to look at a different type of building, a metal steel building versus the brick block glass type building. The more it doesn't look like an office, it's more of a lot of building for the square footage for a lot of use. And I think we can bring this building in under the original budget of 3.5, maybe a $500,000 or thereabouts under that, maybe. And again, this is just a thought. So this is where I'm looking. That would be $2 million under the current bid that came in. So I think we got some room to move there. But to do that, I think we need to look at moving the site. One of the suggestions, I think, that moving the site would be out by our county landfill that we closed. That we have 200 acres out there, and the parks district's already out there. They already have a parking lot on one side of the road and walking trails. I think we could go out there, build this new type building. There's nothing really around it. It lets us downgrade the construction type, okay, because it's not in that $7-8 million category neighborhood. It lets us plan for an addition, lets us go. We don't have to cut the building down, because the only way that I can see that the architect can get this building down to meet our budget is they have to reduce the size by probably a third. So I think it might make a lot of sense to do that, but I want to be perfectly clear that, you know, this is something that the other commissioners don't have anything. I mean, they're on the same track as originally get it built on the site and get it in budget. This is just something that, you know, that I've looked at. So I guess if there's any criticism, I've heard that there's some people upset because somebody said something about the animal shelter being moved. That's not really accurate. This is a suggestion, and those criticisms should come at me. If this is for discussion only. This type of building will be built quicker, probably 2 or 3 months quicker than the other type building. We're in the middle of the winter, so nothing could be started right now anyway. Either site, I mean, it's just, we're going down to some teens temperature, and that's, you know, if you don't have the slabs and the foundations in by now, you're probably shut out for 8 weeks or so. So this is something that might work. So with that, I would like to just ask that the commissioners, well, I know Greg's not here, but that commissioners, so you have some idea what I'm looking at, and I think we can have all these rough numbers out probably in a week. By that time, I think the new design will be back from the architect for the meeting the design project up there. We can look at that. But there's nothing married to this thing at the Woodsdale site, except it would give us a 200-acre park-type setting next to the park, and some amenities are already there. I see it with a dog agility training facility next to it, where you can have dog shows. Everybody say, well, it's out in the boondocks and it's out in the country. I think the animal shelter belongs in the country. I think it makes sense. We have a dog agility training site next to it, where the people can want to adopt a dog can take it out and interact with the dog, and they can walk across the street into the park, and they can walk in the park district. There's 200 acres out there to walk on. It's tied next to the Crisp Park. Crisp Home, which is a wonderful facility out there. And I think it just becomes a nucleus of an overall plan, park development kind of concept. But hey, I'm just throwing it out for some consideration, if the board doesn't, you know, I mean, I would like to say I'd like to run these two tracks parallel. Let me explore this a little bit, but still keep the other project on track, and then see where it goes.
Don, I'm not at all opposed to exploring other possibilities, I think we need to do that, particularly while we are high as far as the budget's concerned. My biggest concern, and one of the reasons that I kind of go with the area that was originally picked, was the high profile. And I think it's the accessibility, the fact that I think the thinking is that the high profile will help possibly as well the adoption of animals. People can get to it more easily. I was just this weekend, I went down to this Pet Suites in Sharonville. And it's a picture of the building here, and it was a prefab building. Apparently they put that up, and I think we had mentioned that the architect about a possibility, but they have done a tremendous amount with this prefab building. It's a gorgeous building. I think we would, if we did it on the hill, we'd have to do a different facade to make it match with what we have there. But in order to bring it in and budget with the design that they have now, they have to cut away an awful lot of the building. And I think we're really hurting our future use of that building. And I think that's unacceptable to cut the building down to that degree. So I don't mind exploring options. I have a meeting set up for this coming Friday at 1:30. I'd like for you to talk to, Don, if that's agreeable with you. I'll talk to Treaton, see if he might consider. Okay. And some of the board members that I've talked to, Rick Fox, called, see if he could attend. We'll see if we could actually want to get this thing on track and get it moving, because any longer delay that we have, these animals that are there now are subject to some very unsanitary conditions, and we need to try to move on it as much as possible. I realize we can't right now because of the weather, but all those things I think need to be taken into consideration, and possibly we could discuss the possibilities, the probabilities, and the facts, maybe a little bit more in detail for Friday at 1:30. If we could.
We'll be here.
Yeah, can we set that up in our chambers? In our conference room?
Would you like?
Just informal.
Okay. You want me to kind of, would you like me to show them kind of what concept I'm thinking of?
I think that'd be good. Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
I understand that. I mean, the traffic thing, it makes sense, and I understand it. So maybe we just didn't, you know, we just take a quick look before we, because the architect's going to give us his recommendations on the building size, and I'm like you. I just can't see cutting a third of that building out.
I think that's unacceptable.
Doesn't make any sense. Great. We'll work on it Thursday or Friday.
Thank you. Anything else here?
Yes. I have a resolution to seek proposals for the development of media and promotional materials for an adoption foster care recruitment campaign for the Children's Services. This puts out the bid for the media type, the promotional type, and all this for the campaign for public bidding.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. And time is of the essence on this, Derek. We were really pushing the foster care program, recruitment program, but this will give us give everybody the opportunity to look at it. Anybody's interested can bid on it. We welcome all bids and anyone else, and everybody's up for consideration.
So we got that started with the doing the all the analysis with the phone polls and so on. So I think we do need to keep that rolling. So.
Great. Anything else?
Anything else?
I have nothing else.
Very good.
Move for adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you.